Well, today we come to Psalm 8, and the theme of Psalm 8 is very easy to see because the psalm begins and ends with the exact same words, which clearly express a theme that is central. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. However, the actual meaning of the psalm is not that easy to decipher. We know from that superscription from this psalm, it was written by David for the choir director. And the background instrument on which was to be played was the giddith. The etymology of this Hebrew word is not that easy to determine. Most believe the term giddith refers to a musical instrument that originated or was found in Gath. Men who lived in Gath were called Giddites, which would make this conclusion logical. An English student cannot help but see there's a similar word between giddith and guitar, although we don't know for sure what this instrument actually was. It's certainly possible for that connection. So we can look at this and make some observations there. First of all, there are three different names used for God. Lord, all capital letters, is the name Jehovah, which emphasizes God's self-existing sovereignty in a covenant relationship with Israel. Lord is the name Adonai, which emphasizes he is master, ruler, and owner of all things. And God is the name Elohim, which emphasizes the fact that he is the triune supreme God. The key word used to describe God is majestic. And that word majestic in Hebrew specifically speaks to the fact that God is the great, magnificent, and glorious God. This specific word has in it the idea of being of God being the sovereign leader who is mighty and powerful. And God's name is not now majestic in all the earth. The truth is God's name is not even majestic today in a lot of churches. So the primary application that we could link to the psalm is for a time when God's name will be majestic in all the earth, and that will be when Jesus is reigning over all the earth. The truth that struck David was the fact that majestic Jehovah was Israel's Adonai. David was awed by the fact that the self-existing, sovereign God was his God and Israel's God. He was humbled by the reality that the Almighty God was Israel's personal ruler and owner. So that gets to the heart of the theme. When a believer is in a right relationship with God, he's going to be humbled by the reality that the sovereign, holy, great, majestic God actually chose him and has any relationship with man. So it may be that David was out under the stars looking up into the sky when he started thinking about these things. He was meditating on the power of God in the universe he created. As he thought about that, and then he realized that this majestic, sovereign God was actually his God, he was deeply moved and he wrote this psalm. So we first of all have the reality of the heavens. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. We see this in verse 1. When you look up in the sky, you do see the splendor of God. When you look up and you see the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets, we see the galaxies and then look beyond it into the deep blue or black chasm. It all testifies of the greatness of God. All the heavens display the immensity of God and the majesty of God. The ultimate display of majesty and splendor of God exists above the heavens, which is the location of the throne of God. And there's no more majestic place than this, even though David had not personally seen that place yet. He obviously knew of it. And there is an unseen world that displays the majesty of God at an ultimate level, and someday we shall see it. He says, out of the mouth, this is verse 2, out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. So this, the idea, the reality of babies, the strength and majesty of God are displayed in babies. A new baby is a remarkable demonstration of the majesty of God. It's a great mystery and majesty to the life of an infant. Chuck Swindoll said that he had an obstetrician friend who testified that before he became a Christian, he could not ignore the power of God as he delivered and then held in his hands one tiny screaming infant after another. He said that this ultimately led him to search for answers in the Bible and finally find salvation in Jesus Christ. There's no question that infants and nursing babes do declare the power and majesty of God. So God displays his greatness in something as large as the universe and also in something as small as a baby. And even Jesus said, this great demonstration of God's majesty is not by scribes and scholars, but by babes. Matthew 11:25. But then we have the reality of silenced enemies. The splendor above the heaven and the little babies on earth display the power of the majestic God. And his majestic power is also displayed when he causes enemies and adversaries to cease. In other words, the majesty of God is displayed by the silencing and the removal of enemies. In fact, to make God's name majestic in all the earth, God will have to remove all of his enemies. We don't even need to think about it. An enemy or adversary does not just go away on his own. So who is it that intervenes to make him go away? The answer is this majestic God. Merrill Unger said, "The enemy and the avenger will be silenced, made to cease as the result of the strength and power of God manifested in response to this childlike faith of the future remnant." Of course, we realize that there is an infant who was born who would ultimately cause all enemies of God to cease, and his name is Jesus. And when he accomplishes what he described here, God's name will be majestic in all the earth. And then we see the reality of the planets. Verse 3, "When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place." You see, throughout the Old Testament, that God calls his creation his finger work, and he calls salvation his arm work. John Wesley said, "God created the heavens and the earth and didn't half try." See, many commentators believe that David's reference to the moon and the stars indicates that he was writing this psalm at night. He's probably gazing up into the sky on a dark, starry night, and there's no question that the sky at night filled with the stars and the moon is majestic to see. So the next time you see it, remember that this is only God's finger work. God, metaphorically speaking, used his fingers to frame and form the world. All of his heavenly bodies have their appointed place and time, purpose. These things are majestic, but they're also only his finger work. Think of how majestic God really is when this is only his finger work. And then we come to verse 4, and we see few things. He's marveling at the existence and position of man. That Hebrew word for man is one that refers to man that is weak, sick, and frail when compared to God. David marveled at the fact that God was connected to man. He knew specifically from the writer of Hebrews that these verses are directly and prophetically connected to Jesus Christ. Look at this. He marveled that God even thought about man. Look at verse 4 at the beginning. It says, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" The specific thing David was thinking about was not that God just thought that man was so cute on the earth. David was thinking about the fact that God thought about man in all his depravity and decided to offer him a way out of sin. And then he says, "And the Son of Man that you care for him." The reference to the Son of Man clearly has a connection to the fact that God cared enough about man to send his Son as a sacrifice for men. The specific care David was thinking about was soteriological, salvation-like. But he's also marveled that God made man lower than God and would make Christ appear on earth lower than the angels. It says in verse 5, "Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings." This word in the Septuagint uses angels. Elohim is Hebrew is Elohim. Here was the great creator appearing less than the angels. When Christ came to earth, he did not seem to look like one who was the creator. He appeared to be lower than the angel he created. If we apply it to man, God made him lower than God. If we apply it to Jesus Christ, God made him lower than the angels. We humans appear and behave at times to be lower than the animals. Jesus never did, but he did appear to be lower than the angels. And David knew that God would crown Christ with the glory and majesty of God. We see that in the second part of verse 5, "and crowned him with glory and honor." And the end result is that God will crown Christ with the glory and majesty of God. You see in verse 6, David knew that Christ would rule over everything. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Part of being made in God's image was to the right to rule over God's creation. Through sin, man somehow lost that right. Jesus Christ will restore it. As David was looking up in the sky, he was thinking that the fact that Almighty God was willing to give up his glorious appearance as God to come to this earth to save us. He was thinking about the fact that one day, according to this verse, Jesus Christ would rule the world and all things will be under his feet. The reality of these animals, look at verse 7, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field, all of the animals testify to the majesty of God. Every animal in the world reveals the glory of God, and one day all animals will be subject to Jesus Christ. And then even the birds of the heavens, all the birds of the air have been created by God, and one day they will be subject to Jesus Christ. And then, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas, all the fish in the deep have been created by God, and one day it'll all be subject to God. Everything David saw displayed the glory and majesty of God. He thought about how God had cared for man by allowing these wonderful animals to be in existence. And when he thought about these, he said, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. So on some dark and starry night, go outside, look up into heaven, praise God for his majesty. And when you see an animal, a bird, a fish, praise God for his majesty. And when you see a baby, praise God for his majesty. And when you realize that God has personally thought about you, praise God for his majesty. And when you realize that God will someday rule over all the earth, praise God for his majesty. You see, you got to make it a point this week to say, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.